Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7. We're going to actually look at verses 6 through 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 6 through 12. I want to talk to you tonight on this subject, the balanced Christian life. The balanced Christian life. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. It's on 1156 in my Bible, but I don't know what it's on yours. But anyways, the Bible says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear." Boy, this verse has been preached a lot, hadn't it, during the COVID season? "But of power, and of love, and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed," amen, "and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Let us pray. Lord, I'm fired up tonight in my heart and my spirit. I'm fired up from the time you gave me the message this week and just ready to preach like a bulldog in a pen. Ready to go, or like an Alabama football player ready to battle down with Georgia. Nonetheless, Lord, I'm here tonight to preach your word. I thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the calling you placed on my life. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, tonight, as Brother Ken's given me that option, that opportunity to preach and to help him and teach and be a part once again of Trinity. And I pray you'd bless our church tonight, bless our message, and may you be glorified tonight all through all that is spoken and what is received in our hearts and how we apply it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Philippians 4:5, the Bible says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." The word moderation means a sweet reasonableness. It speaks of the believer who is walking a balanced Christian life. You ever see a pendulum? It just kind of swings one place to the next. I think sometimes that's how we are in our life. We're not balanced. If your equilibrium ever gets out of balance, guess what? You're in a mess, aren't you? I've heard people that's really struggled with this in life, and man, they're sick all the time. God bless them, I'm telling you. I don't want to get there. Or if your chemical balance is out in your body, you're in a mess, right? Same thing in your Christian life. Often our life is like a pendulum going back and forth. We're either way over here, way out left field over here, no one can find us, or we're way over here on the right that we're choking on legalism, and God wants us right in the center of His will, right in the center, that He's the center of our lives, but we're walking with Him. We're not way over here, and we're not way over here. You know, Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, "I'd rather you be hot or cold," right? Not lukewarm. He wants us to be right with Him. And so, as a believer, we can live a balanced Christian life. In fact, that's where we need to be. It's healthy to walk in a balanced, have a balanced Christian life. We often, but in fact, Paul, in writing to Timothy here, Timothy, the pastor of the church of Ephesus, Timothy, young preacher, Paul was under in prison at Rome. He was under awaiting his execution under Nero. And Paul, writing to young Timothy, knowing the persecution from without, knowing the apostasy that was about to take place and was trying to creep into the church, Paul writes to Timothy and he tells him to stir up that faith that's in you. Amen? Go back, remember, stir up the gift of God that's in you. Live that balanced Christian life. Don't shrink back. A lot of times, I think in the days we're living in, we're just ready to shrink back. We're ready just to give up. We're ready to throw in the towel. Dear folks, we cannot give up. Amen? Hey, the Lord gave us a promise. The church of Christ, the church of the Lord shall prevail. Amen? And so, we must not. Timothy, he was telling Timothy, don't shrink back in fear or neglect in not walking with God like you should. And so it was evident that Timothy was gripped with some fear, maybe some hesitation due to what he was about to experience. In our nation and around the world, there's a lot of things that alarm us. Yet as we live in this world, and we're not to be of this world, amen? We're to live a balanced Christian life. It's like a seesaw. You know, God don't want you down here or way up here. He wants you balanced. He wants you focused. He wants you walking with Him. Because what happens when we're out of balance, we're not faithful. Or we're trying to walk the fence. You ever meet a Christian that is walking the fence? Trying to please the world? Trying to like everybody? But also trying to love God? I know a few people that way, and it frustrates the life out of me. It really does. But we need to stay right in the middle of God's will. The apostle, as he awaits, and he writes this letter to Timothy, he writes him and encourages him to stir up that gift. And if we're going to walk a balanced Christian life, then we need to understand, number one, God's provision for the believer. Though this is a personal letter, but I believe it's also a letter written to the church, not just for the believers at Ephesus, but also I believe this is a letter written for the church today. Amen? He says, verse 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by putting on of my hands, for God hath not given a spirit of fear, but of power of love and a sound mind." We see here, if we're going to understand how to walk a balanced Christian life, number one, we need to understand God's provision for the believer. Number one, because we need to remember the gift that God has given you. As you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a new creature, none of that's new to you. Amen? But God gives you gifts or gift to use to build up the body of Christ, right? And I think it's Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, is I believe as well. It talks about the spiritual gifts. In other words, what is your passion? What's your heart beat? What's driving you? What? You know, where do you want to serve? I mean, what has God given you as that gift? And then also believe there's a calling. There's a gift that God calls preachers and calls missionaries and so forth for service. But God has called all of us to serve Him. Amen? And so here it's not speaking of salvation, but rather the gift or gifts. Some believers have probably more than one gift. And you say, well, how do you know if you have more than one gift? Are you using the gift of one gift He's given you? If you're not, then you're not going to have any gifts to be used. So the gift is used to help the believer minister to the body. And the Apostle Paul was calling Timothy to stir up that gift. That word, that phrase, stir up, means to keep blazing, keep the flame of fire burning. It can also mean to rekindle or restir the flame. Years ago in Bible college, me and a buddy, and several buddies, I went to Bible college in the mountains of North Carolina, and old Florida boy of me, it was hot in the summertime. So me, I'm thinking hot summertime, Florida, but North Carolina's different. You're in the mountains, it gets cold at night. So dummy me, North Carolina, and here I am up there and with a bunch of guys. We're out camping, and none of us have any blankets. We have a tent and a sheet. You always have a sheet, and we're in our tents. And about 3 in the morning, we all wake up freezing to death. We're out there. You've seen this, man. We're out there trying to rekindle that fire, trying to get that fire going. We had it blazing there, buddy. 3 in the morning. Maybe we were warm. And, well, that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Rekindle that gift. Stir up that gift. Amen? You know, things in your life, family, work, the world, the workforce, everything going on, it may have dampened that wood in your life. Paul says to stir it up. Rekindle that flame. We rekindled that flame so much that my friend Randy, he decided he was going to sleep out next to the fire where it was warm. I went back to the tent. We woke up the next morning, and Randy, the fire had burned all the hairs off his legs. Well, anyways, the balanced Christian life will keep the gift or gifts stirred up if we're to use them to minister in the church. But I'm afraid too many times we've let the flame of serving the Lord die out. There's no more desire. Instead, you have settled for duty to serve, just showing up. And that's not where we need to be, just to show up. Anyone can show up, right? We need to be stirred up. Listen. Well, anyways, let me move on. It's time to throw off the wet blanket, get joyfully serving the Lord, and let me say we don't need other believers being that wet blanket, trying to dampen or dampen that desire in your heart to serve God. We don't need that. We got enough pressure on us from the world. Man, we ought to be joyful. And so, don't stand in the way. Instead, stir up that gift God has given you. Get back in the game. Quit making excuses. Quit putting other things first. Put God first in your life. Stir up here. Again, it's in the present tense. Not past. It's in the present. Let's go. Let's get together. Let's get in the game. Man, when Alabama's on, man, I'm all in the game. I may not be out there on that field, but I'm in the game, buddy. Especially when they're playing Georgia. And I'm kidding. Picking on Georgia tonight, but they picked on me all weekend about Alabama, so I'm getting back at some of these Georgia fans. But nonetheless, but when I'm watching that game, man, I'm in that game. I'm ready for it, man. I'm ready. I'm on the edge of my seat. I don't want no popcorn. I don't want no Coke, man. I'm in the game. When you're serving God, you're living for God, you need to be in the game. Because the Bible says, be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within you. If you're not in your game and you're not ready, you're not going to be able to give an answer when a lost person comes up to you and asks why you're different. And you should be able to tell them within like 2 to 3 minutes of why you're different. Amen? And so, again, we're going to have a balanced Christian life. We need to not fear this present world or the persecution that may arise. I don't know about you. I've been watching a lot of the churches in California, the Baptist churches and so forth, the ones that's been under persecution. And man, North Valley Baptist Church, man, they really inspire me. I'm telling you what. Man, they were fined $5,000, I think it was per service, because they were meeting inside. And you know what? Those believers, they got it, rain, sun, shine, stormy, whatever. They get out. They built this huge, big old platform where the preacher gets up there and the song leader's up there, Brother Mark, and he's just, and everyone's in their cars and they're blowing the horns. Hey, I'm telling you, man, that excites me. And you know what? as that preacher preaches, it's going out all over the communities. It's no longer contained in a building. It's going all over the community that, hey, Jesus saves. Man, that church, Brother Treebert, man, they've been on fire for Jesus out there. Man, I tell you, it just excites me. I'm on football tonight. Anyways, let me move on. If we're going to have a balanced Christian life, we also need not fear. And I look around tonight, and I see a lot of believers with a lot of gifts, a lot of things you could do, a lot of ways you can be a blessing and help. But sometimes, you know, we're not using them like we should. You know, 2008, I guess, when I first came to know Brother Ken, we'd gone through some rough church experiences, and Brother Ken befriended me, and we ended up coming a part of Trinity. I know it's been a while since 2008. But you know what I remember? I remember seeing children run around in this place. I remember a vacation Bible school. We were on fire. Amen? Children. I remember a men's meeting that wasn't meeting at Fallon's, but we were meeting in the fellowship hall. Nothing wrong. I'm not being negative, anything I'm trying to tell you. I'm just trying to tell you what I remember. I remember a vibrant young couples class. I remember children's classes. I remember a youth class. I remember an adult class. I remember a full choir. I remember a harvest festival. I remember a fish fry. I remember a chili cook-off we had. Here. And let me ask you tonight, do we not need to stir up the gift in us again? Wouldn't you like to see children running through this place again? Wouldn't you like to see a youth group again? Wouldn't you like to see a men's meeting full tonight? Not just because we're meeting to eat a bunch of ribs, but we're meeting because we're men that's so in love with Jesus and want a difference for our children? Amen. Let's put food aside and let's focus on God. And so, I'm telling you, when I became pastor at Northside, you want to talk about a dead church? They had no children at all. I'm telling you, our first year at Northside, there were 19 people that showed up on a Saturday. And I'm talking about elderly, senior people, 19 of us, we showed up. We had the gospel in these pamphlets and these bags, and we went out to our community and we knocked on every door and told them about Jesus. 19 senior adults. We had our first vacation Bible school. We had no children except Chastity in our church and maybe a few youth. Our first VBS, we had 27 kids. Why? Because you get concerned about a community around you. Amen? See, it's not just being just for the children. Listen, wouldn't you like to see that happen again? People on fire for the Lord? Sure you would. And, you know, maybe you don't. Maybe your wood's wet. Maybe you need to stir that gift up again. Oh, God, stir it up in me. Use me. Let's get motivated for the sake of the gospel. Well, how did this all happen? Well, the power, how does this happen? Well, we got to rely on the power of God, right? God has to give it to us. God and His Spirit. A lot of times we're fearful. We don't want to move on. We're afraid that maybe, you know, we're afraid to move on. You know, or we're afraid of resistance. They don't reject you. They reject the Lord. Amen? And so, God has not given us a spirit of fear, amen? But what? He's given, number two, if we're going to walk a balanced Christian life, number one, we need to understand God's provision for the believer. We need to understand the gift that God has given us. But number two, the power of God. that he's given us. Verse 7. Notice verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Where does power come from? The Holy Spirit, right? How do we get power? How do we get power if you want the lights on here? You just go ahead and turn on the switch, right? That's easy. It's got to be prayer. We got to get in the Word. We got to seek God's face. One thing about Lighthouse, I remember so clearly in where we were in North Georgia. You know where the success of Lighthouse Baptist Church was? The prayer meetings ahead. Before church, after church. Let me tell you, on Sunday night, people didn't go home from Lighthouse. They went to these rooms and they met and they prayed for their church. And I'm not just talking about one or two. I'm talking about adults, senior adults, children, youth, all met in these rooms and they prayed for their church Sunday morning and Sunday night, before church, after church. See, we got to stir up. When is it going to become important to us? We get the power of God from the Holy Spirit as we pray and we listen. We need God's power. Paul uses this word power in all the letters except one to Philemon. And it's talking about the Holy Spirit's power in our lives. In Acts 1:8, Ephesians 3:20. He says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh within us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So, listen, God wants to do exceedingly abundantly. We just got to ask Him, right? See, it's not asking, Lord, help me to, get rich. No, that's not the prayers we need to be praying. God, bless our church. God, open up doors. God, open up doors for us to witness. God, open up doors so we reach children and youth and senior adults and young couples and married couples. Lord, help us to be able to minister and reach them for the gospel's sake. Living the balanced Christian life is possible because God has given you the power to do it. Instead of in your Christian life, you like some people rail on fire after revival, but then after revival comes, as far as the services go, so does their devotion go. Here for a little while, but then gone. So we're like a pendulum. We're either way over here or way over here. And it just keeps going. And God wants it to stop right in the middle. Wants us to stay center, focused. Our families need us. Dads, your family needs you to be centered, focused on God. And you're, as a father, as a husband, amen? Doesn't mean you're perfect. We all make mistakes. But the Holy Spirit of God infuses the believer with power into his spirit. But I want you to notice something. We don't get His power if we're just sitting around here and not ministering. Remember, it's for as we minister, as we equip, as we build up, as we help one another, as we reach, as we serve, as we do God's work. God gives us power. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. A lot of times we quote that verse when we're going through a trial. We're suffering. But listen, God has power to give you the ability to do His work. Listen, I was a shy little kid. Man, I tell you what, when God called me, He took the shyness away. I love football. I love to watch it, but I couldn't tell you how to play it, honestly. Somebody could walk up to me and tell me something about football, and it may not be true, and I just believe them, hook, line, and sinker. I don't know, I just know they run the ball up and down the field. And if my team's got it, I'm woo! You know what I mean? I'm going somewhere with it. But you know what? When I was in 12th grade, God called me to be the president of our Fellowship Christian Athletes. I never served in a sport at all. The greatest sport I ever did was kickball. I loved to kick, or dodgeball. I loved to hit people, you know. But God used that. What I'm saying is, when your heart is willing, and you're willing, it's like when Brother Marcus is out. I don't know how to lead music. Man, it could tell us we need to pause, or and I'd still be singing. But see, it's not about if I can read music or not read music. It's about if I have a willing heart to do it. If you have a willing heart to do it. Timothy could have resolute faith and trust in God that as he stirred up that gift and used it, God would empower him to minister, to speak the Word of God. And we, Christian, must not think we can live the balanced Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. We need God's Spirit. I've been under attack today in so many directions before I even got to church this morning. And then this evening, I was ready to come in and ready to preach. I went to get my message, and I made one change in my message, and when I did that, half of my sermon's gone. I'm telling you what, I mean, it's tough trying to get my mind focused, and thankfully, my wife knew what she was doing because she saved the message. Anyways, so I'm telling you, I need God's help. But number three, if we're going to walk a balanced Christian life, we need to understand the love of God. Amen? The love of God. Verse 7, again, God has not given a spirit of fear, but a power of love. Amen? The Holy Spirit infuses power into the believers, but also for serving, but also He injects love into us. As we love, as we serve, He gives us His love. It's His love. When we walk with Him, we're to love like Him. We're to treat our enemies like Christ would treat our enemies. We're to be good to them. We don't want to be good to our enemies, but God tells us we've got to be good to them because that's how we show the love of Christ. A lot of times we want to get vengeance. See, love is a love here. God's love is a love that arises in the mind and will. It's not in emotions. It is the kind of love that says, I will love that person no matter what they do to me. I will care, nourish, nurture him or her. It is the kind of love that would treat them as they want, as I would want to be treated if they knew Christ. And so, listen, the kind of love, the love of God is needed for you and I to live a balanced Christian life. I try to remind myself all the time of this. Love covers a multitude of sins. You know why I remind myself of that? Because people that hurt me, people that wrong me, it teaches me that I need to be forgiving like God was forgiving towards me. And I need to let things go. It's not important. And so, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. But also, I want to quickly move to the fourth. If we're going to walk a balanced Christian life, we need to have a sound mind. Amen? The Holy Spirit of God infuses in the believer's spirit a sound mind. God gives you the ability, through His power, to have self-control. And let me tell you, this is a big problem today. And you can tell me it's not, you're lying. And you'd be right here repenting with me. Amen? Self-control. We need God's power to control our spirit, to control our thoughts, control our minds, control our walk. We need His Word to control us. It's not... We need Him to control our emotions, our feelings, our thoughts in the midst of trials and circumstances. And no matter how tough or stressful it can be, is that we need God to help us to have a sound mind. Again, you're not going to have a sound mind if you're caught up in the world. The world and the devil wants to destroy your mind, and he does it through commercials, through radio, through music, through movies, through news, every channel, every place you go, you can't get away from it, seems like. Yes, you can. Get in the Word. God, help me to have a sound mind. Help me have discernment, Lord. Discernment. Romans 8, 5 through 9. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How do I go to bed at night and lay my head down? Because I know where my relationship lies. I know whom I have believed in. I know that God has me. I mean, I can go, no matter what's going on, I can lay down at night and go to sleep and be in peace because my mind has stayed on Him. Verse 7, it talks about the carnal mind is at enmity against God. So verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, Paul says, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And so, you know, the Word of God helps us. We need a good dose of God's Word. Amen? I like what Warren Wiersbe says about a sound mind. He says, when the Spirit is in control, we will experience peace and poise, and fear and cowardice will vanish. When I was, again, at FCA and I was speaking, all those other places I was able to speak, God gave me the ability to do it. God took the shyness away. And it's just not, I mean, that's been a long time ago. God gives me the ability to speak to people every day. My brother-in-law accuses me all the time. He says, you don't meet a stranger, do you? I said, why not? Why should I meet a stranger? God tells us to get to know our people, our neighbors. Get to know these folks. So, in Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You want a sound mind? Hang out with Jesus. Amen? Hang out with Him. And so we're to be biblically balanced. And when we're biblically balanced, we're not swinging. We're not way over here. We're not way over there. We're right in the middle, walking with God. We're not perfect. We're not sinless. But our focus is on God. Number two, real quick. The balanced Christian life. If we're going to walk a balanced Christian life, we need to understand God's program for the believer, verse 8 through 9. Notice what he said. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. If we're going to walk a balanced Christian life, we need to understand the believer's position. We are to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Amen? It's just not for the preacher. It's just not for missionaries. All of us ought to be partakers of the gospel. In writing to Timothy, the Apostle Paul was undergoing affliction himself and being persecuted in prison and soon to be executed by Nero, soon to have his head cut off. And yet Paul himself did not shrink back. Paul wrote in service, and he wrote to Timothy, encouraging him as a fellow soldier in the gospel. You know, to, again, start the gift, to rely on God's power, to have a sound mind, to understand your position, to understand your calling. God's called you to be a partaker in the gospel. God did not save us to go on living for ourselves, but He washed us and saved us and called us to be partakers of the gospel. When's the last time you actually suffered for Christ's sake? When's the last time you suffered for the gospel's sake? When's the last time you were afflicted for the sake of the gospel? See, we're afflicted sometimes by our own bad choices we make, or because we live in a sinful flesh or a sinful world. But when's the last time we stuck our neck out for Christ? And so, a couple years ago, I got tired at work one day of one of the police officers I was in the same office with. He constantly would use God's name in vain. Constantly use it. And man, it just vexed my soul. Man, I tell you, I just can't stand it. And he and I were friends. We ate lunch together. And he knew I was a believer. I just felt like every time that I'd pray and ask God to help me with that, it's like it'd get 10 times worse with him. I'm serious now. And I had enough one day, and I sitting in my office and sitting at my desk. His desk right across from mine, and I said, named him by name, and I said, I've had enough of using my Savior's name in vain. I had enough of it. I'm telling you, it didn't go easy. It didn't go well. But you know what? He apologized. And I watched him. As we continue to work together, he got better. See, it could have came back on me, you know, worse. But I'm saying, but when are we going to stand up? Amen? But also notice that we have the believer's purpose, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. God has called us, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. Christ has called us to a holy life, set apart life. Paul said, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. The people at Ephesus knew that Timothy was Paul's friend and co-laborer, but Paul was now a Roman prisoner. Warren Wiersbe goes on to say that our suffering is all a part of our heavenly calling as ministers. When Christians suffer, they suffer with Christ. It's the same thing. When we suffer, we're suffering with Christ. Paul says, I want to know Him. Paul didn't fear death. A lot of times we fear death, and that stops us. Or, you know, I don't even think we even fear death. I think we just fear someone telling us no. You know what I mean? The same power that saves us and strengthens us for the battle is the same power that strengthens us to minister, to serve, to help, to do God's work. Amen? Christians, we're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. We're in a great spiritual battle. And our weapons, let me tell you, I'm in a battle every day with Robert. My biggest problem is not the devil. My biggest problem is the flesh. The flesh don't like the Spirit. The flesh doesn't like doing what God wants me to do. But I'm also in the battle with the devil. So are you. We battle with sin. But the same power that saved us, also God has given us the power to distinguish all those darts that come at us. Sometimes we're just weak. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But notice what he said, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You have a bad thought, you need to bring it to the throne room of God. Lord, I'm sorry, that was not a right thought. You say a wrong thing, immediately, I'm telling you, that's where we are. As you walk a balanced Christian life, as you're walking with God, man, you hurt somebody, you go and apologize. You say something you shouldn't have said, you take care of it right then. You don't wait, because let me tell you, when you do not apologize and you do not forgive and you do not make things and you do not get that sin, that hidden sin right in your heart, as David said, his bones, his body ached. It was like death in his body. When he hid that sin that of having adultery with Bathsheba and then killing Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, I'm telling you, it affected him physically. And let me tell you, it'll do the same thing to you. The best way to get freedom, the best way to have healing, the best way to have the power of God is to get rid of it right away. Confess it right then. And mean it. Amen? We need to do battle God's way with God's methods. God's purpose, verse 10, is seen in that He abolished death, brought life, immortality to light. God's wonderful purpose in the gospel was hidden in ages past, but now it's been revealed. Amen? And see, quickly, and I'm done. If we're going to walk a balanced Christian life, then we need to understand God's promise for the believer. Amen. God's promise for the believer, verse 11 and 12. Paul says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." Amen. "And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul explains that he was appointed to make these truths known to the people of God. His attitude reflected that of love for his Savior and for the gospel, and he was not ashamed. Let me ask you, are you ashamed to speak up for Jesus? Are you ashamed of your church? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed? Are you going to have resolute faith and trust as Paul did when he embraced the promise of God? "I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed." Paul believed the promise of God that the very God who saved and called him also would keep him. That's why he didn't fear death. That's why he didn't fear man. That's why he didn't fear the government. That's why he didn't fear the forces of the devil. Well, that's why he didn't fear persecution or arrest or jail or whatever it was for the gospel. That's why he didn't fear. That's why he didn't give up. Because he knew whom he had to believe. And he believed that God was able to keep him against that day. You want the balanced Christian life? You got to understand His provision, His purpose, and embrace His promises. It's time to get to work. Listen, when you get to heaven, all the work's done. All the work's done. Remember all those communities you wanted to reach? All the kids you wanted to reach? All the people you wanted to witness to? All the family you wanted to witness to? All the prayer meetings you wanted? All the preaching you wanted? All everything you wanted to do for God? Guess what? When God calls your name and you're out of here, it's over. And then what comes? There's going to be a judgment seat for the believer. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." We know what a life without Christ leads to. We also know what a life in Christ, a believer that does nothing for the Lord, leads to. We'll give an account, Christian. You know, when God gave the talents out, and that one guy went and buried that and hid that talent, didn't do anything. I'm telling you, the Lord dealt with him. Same thing. What are you doing with Jesus? What more? What, Lord, tonight, Lord, I'm just one man. I love my brothers and sisters dearly in here. Brother Ken's just one man. Our deacons are just... our teachers. God, you called all of us in the church to stir up that gift. I pray once again we'd stir it up. It's time to throw off the wet wood and get on fire for Jesus. While the day is still light, why, God, you have still given us time. And I pray that we'll just not hear the message, we'll be doers of the message that you've given us tonight, including myself. I'm preaching to me. Oh God, speak, move, move us out of our comfort zones. Lord, it'd be great to see more men at a men's meeting, men that really care for the church. I love to eat too. Sometimes we just need to quit eating and start listening to what you have to say to us. Start fellowship. Start praying with one another. Life's tough. We need help. We need you, God. I pray, God, tonight that you might just work in our hearts. Whatever needs to be done, God, that we would be obedient to do what you called us to do. In Jesus' name, Brother Ken.